Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, September 18, 2022, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 5. Fantastic paragraph, verses 1 through 5 on the results of justification. And in this passage on the results of justification, we have perhaps the greatest passage on suffering for blessing. Because God, when you reach that point that He can bless you with suffering for blessing, that means now you have the opportunity to go through four stages of developing virtues of Christ. Each one develops the next one, develops the next one, develops the next one, and the ultimate objective, virtue love. And that's all here in this fantastic passage, Romans 5, 1 through 5. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your infinite and Your matchless grace. And we thank You, Heavenly Father, that You have blessed us with one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship You through the study of Your Word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, some of you, as soon as you came in this morning, came up to me and wanted to know, what was I thinking? I didn't talk about Washington State beating Wisconsin last week. Last Sunday was 9/11. And I thought it was far more important to talk about 9/11. But now it's not 9/11, so now I'll talk about Washington State. Yeah, last week Washington State University Cougars beat the Wisconsin Badgers in Wisconsin, at Camp Randall Stadium, before 80,000 fans. Wisconsin rated 19th in the nation. It was a miracle. Normally, it's a debacle. But it was a miracle. They're 3-0 on their way to the national championship. And UNLV only has one loss. They can still play Washington State in the national championship. They only have one loss. And they're 2-1. That ties the number of victories they won the last 2 years. But they actually look, they have improved a lot. They have some defense. They have a very excellent starting quarterback. The thing is, last year he was great. About two or three games in, he got injured and didn't play the rest of the year. If I just saw the highlights, I don't know how he didn't break his neck. He runs, gets down to the goal line, jumps up in the air, they hit him, and he does a somersault, and he lands on his head in the end zone. If you keep doing that, sooner or later, your head's going to fall off. But that was a great win against North Texas. And believe it or not, UNLV rushing defense is ranked 13th in the nation. 13th in the nation rushing defense. Only allowed that powerhouse Idaho State 50 yards. North Texas, California, they only allowed 92 yards. And they should have won that game at California. They should have beat the California Golden Bears. They had four chances in the last 8 minutes to score the winning touchdown. They didn't come through. They could be 3-0 very easily. Like I say, UNLV, Washington State, national championship game. All right. Romans chapter 5, 1 through 5. I have been looking forward to teaching this. I did all the study on this 6 months ago. And at the time I was doing the study, I just over and over thought to myself, "Oh, I can't wait to teach this. This is the best. Can't wait to teach it." Well, here we are. We're teaching it. Romans 5, 1 through 5, the results of justification. Result number one we've studied in Romans 5, 1, the peace with God. That's the peace of reconciliation. This is the work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, directed toward man. This peace or reconciliation describes the removal of the barrier between God and man. Result number two is found in Romans 5, 2, the first half of the verse. Access into the presence of the living and true God. Access to God means we have a personal relationship with the living and true God. Result number three is found in the second half of Romans 5, 2. Eternal security. And that brought us to result number four. Out one of the great results of justification is the establishment of a grace pipeline. Now that, awesome. Here's the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross. All the sins of the world were gathered up by God the Father, imputed to Christ on the cross, and judged in the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all. You come to the cross and you place your faith in Jesus Christ. And at that moment of faith in Christ, the justice of God imputes to you the righteousness of God. That's justification. At the moment of faith in Christ, the justice of God imputes to you the righteousness of God. You're declared to be righteous, justified, vindicated. That establishes the grace pipeline. Here are you. You're sitting here this morning, all of you, believers in Jesus Christ. You all have plus R in you. Every one of you. You have God's righteousness inside of you. On the other end is the justice of God. So justice of God in heaven, the righteousness of God is in you. Now you're encapsulated by the integrity of God. This establishes a grace pipeline. And the purpose of that grace pipeline is to send down blessing. Blessing to you. Why? Not because of who and what you are, not because you're so beautiful, so handsome, so smart, so intelligent, geniuses. Not because you're athletic, not because you can run the hurdles. No, it's because of who and what God is. All blessings that come to you is because of who and what God is, because you have His righteousness residing in you. That establishes a grace pipeline. And so day by day, here come these blessings to you. One time, Harlan and I, we were at a crap table. Harlan was playing crap. No. We were at the crap table. And the guy had the dice, and he held the dice for 30 minutes. The chips just kept coming and coming and coming and coming and coming and coming. By the way, the black chips are 100. Black is beautiful. This kept filling up with black chips. Harlan was at one end of the table, I was at the other. I looked down at him and I go, come on down. Blessing from justice to imputed righteousness. Now, some of you, that's the only thing you're going to learn this morning. And some of you are going to say, I'm going to pray for Pastor Olson. Well, good. I hope you do pray for me. I need all the prayers I can get. As soon as you believe in Christ, 40 salvation blessings are given to you instantly. All believers. All believers. We receive that. Now, you don't even know that happened. But it happened. And then you start to grow up in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And as you do that, you learn about all these fantastic blessings God gave to you right at salvation. And then after that, day by day by day, God gives to you logistical grace, blessing and support to all believers. All believers. Now, these 40 salvation blessings and logistical grace, blessing, and support. That's not the end of the. That's not the objective or the end of the line. That is given to you so that you can start making good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and advance to spiritual adulthood. And when you do that, that's what these are for. These grace blessings, and they're fantastic blessings, but they're there. You're living in the middle of the devil's world, and God knows that. And He gives you these fantastic blessings so that you can start making good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advance to spiritual adulthood, because the ultimate objective that God wants to do for you is to give you greater grace blessing. Greater grace blessings. Greater grace blessings right here in the devil's world. Greater grace blessing for all eternity. And when He gives you those greater grace blessings for all eternity, it glorifies God. You glorify God forever and ever and ever for all eternity. You will glorify God. That's what that grace pipeline is for. That grace pipeline is so God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. That's the ultimate objective. Greater grace blessings in time and for all eternity. Now, those of you who are here consistently and faithfully, you hear me say from the pulpit, Merry Christmas all the time. And I tell you that God wants you to have Christmas every single day. That's the plan of God. He wants you to have Christmas every single day. And He wants you to have Thanksgiving every single day. That's when you're living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, then that will become a reality. How awesome is that? How great is that? Now, if you don't have Christmas every single day and you don't have Thanksgiving every single day, that's a warning. That's a warning. God has something far, far greater for you than what you are enjoying. Far greater. seems like I'm going to more doctors. Go to one doctor and he scalps my head, and go to another doctor, he does something else. I was at my cardiologist, and he comes in, and I know he's a believer. He just needs to find a... He needs to feed on God's word and get truth. Anyway, he sat down and he said, he asked me, how am I? I said, I'm great, doc. I'm great. I said, how are you? Oh, he says, I'm good. I go, oh. And I looked at him and said, doc, good is a four-letter word. I mean, he looked at me like I had two heads. Good is a four-letter word? I said, yeah, God don't want you to be great. He wants you to be fantastic. He wants you to be supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. If you're only good, I feel sorry for you. Because you're missing out on what God really wants you to be. God wants you to be great. My grandkids that come in, I'm up. And I always ask them, how are you? And if they say good, I go, oh, Lord, I'm going to pray for Natalie. Oh, I'm going to pray for Hunter. You know, pray for Sophie. You guys, God wants you to be great. Fantastic. Every day ought to be Christmas and Thanksgiving. But you know, most Christians, good is about as good as it gets. Too bad. It's really sad. Because God has so much more for you. Now, I expect all of you in here to understand the concept, to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, to utilize those 40 salvation blessing, to utilize the logistical grace God gives you day after day after day, and advance to spiritual adulthood, and then enjoy. God is just tapping his foot, waiting to pour out these fantastic greater grace blessings in time, right in the middle of the devil's world, even when the Democrats are in power. Greater grace blessings in time and greater grace blessings for all eternity. One of the results of justification is the establishment of this grace pipeline. And that grace pipeline is designed for you to get to this point here. Once you get there, and you're qualified for something totally unique. You're now qualified for God to give you suffering for blessing. That's verses 3 through 5. Now you're qualified to receive suffering for blessing. And what is that special blessing? What is that for? To develop 4 magnificent virtues and bring you all the way to the ultimate objective, virtue love. This is one of the greatest passages in the Word of God that describes suffering for blessing. The spiritually adult believer has lived the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. He's living his life in the light of the unique spiritual life of the church age. He has grown up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He has God's problem-solving devices in his soul, which enables him to clear the spiritual hurdles of suffering for blessing. These hurdles may include intense suffering, pain, trials, persecution, oppression, affliction, distressing circumstances. And as the spiritually adult believer clears these hurdles by the grace and power of God, 4 magnificent virtues of Christ are produced. And each one develops the next one, which develops the next one, which develops the next one. The first virtue is in verse 3, hupomone. The Greek word there is hupomone. Courageous endurance. Courage in the face of great suffering. And then that develops and produces Virtue number two, dokime, proven character, grace, righteousness, demonstrated virtue, honor, sacred honor. Then that produces and develops virtue number three, elpis, hope, confidence, maximum confidence in God and in the Word of God. Then that produces and develops virtue number four, agape, virtue love, brought to completion in your heart. The ultimate objective of the spiritual life. Personal love for God the Father, motivating impersonal love for all, and occupation with Jesus Christ. And what's the other side of the coin of occupation with Christ? Sharing the happiness of God. And that's Philippians 4:4. That's the plan of God. God doesn't want you to be good. He wants you to be plus eight, sharing the happiness of God, no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in America, no matter what's going on in Nevada, Las Vegas, no matter what's going on at your job or what's going on in your marriage, your family. God wants you to share His happiness. Not be good. He wants you to share His happiness. He wants you to be happy. And in Philippians 4:4, he repeats himself twice. Keep on sharing the happiness of God. And then he says, I repeat. And God doesn't have to repeat. When God repeats, it's very important. I repeat, keep on sharing the happiness of God. 1st virtue, virtue number 1, hupomone. H-U-P-O-M-O-N, long E, hupomone. This is a compound word made up of the preposition, hupa, which is the word under, and then meno, which means to stay or to remain. So literally it means to stay under, to stay, to remain under the suffering, to stay under the pressure. In other words, no quitting. Quitting is not a problem-solving device in the Word of God. God doesn't provide quitting as a problem-solving device. No quitting. Stay under the pressure. Stay and remain under the suffering. Hupomone means endurance, perseverance, steadfastness. Hupomone is courageous endurance. That's the best translation. Courageous endurance. It is a word for honor and courage in times of great suffering and pressure. The first virtue that suffering for blessing produces in the life of the spiritually mature believer is courageous endurance. He perseveres and endures by the grace and power of God. 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you. So, verse 3 says, and not only this, but also, introducing result number 4 of justification. Romans 5:3, and not only this, but also we keep on boasting, we keep on glorying in our sufferings. Suffering for blessing. Why? Because we, adult, spiritually adult believers, we know that suffering for blessing produces hupomone, courageous endurance. Courageous endurance. And courageous endurance, perseverance, produces, develops, brings about dokime, virtue number 2, proven character. Courageous endurance in that suffering for blessing develops, produces proven character, demonstrated grace righteousness, and that's dokime. D-O-K-I-M, long E, dokime. Dokime comes from the verb dokimazo, and this is a very special verb in the Greek. It means to put to the test, to examine something or someone so as to approve them. This is testing for the purpose of approval. That's what this suffering for blessing is given to you by God for, is to test you for the purpose of approval, to develop proven character. First of all, courageous endurance, and courageous endurance develops proven character. God, dokimazos, the spiritually adult believer, with intensified suffering for blessing, to prove that now he is qualified to receive virtue number 3, hope. Hope 2 and hope 3. Greater grace blessing for time and greater grace blessing for all eternity. So the noun dokime means the quality of being tested and approved. Dokime means proven character, demonstrated grace, righteousness, demonstrated integrity. Dokime is the Greek noun for grace, righteousness, honor, integrity, the virtue of the spiritually mature believer. Dokime describes the believer who has traveled down the grace road from plus R at salvation to grace righteousness at spiritual maturity, Psalm 23:3. Grace righteousness is a synonym for spiritual maturity. It is that point of spiritual maturity when the believer has proven character, honor, and nobility of soul. Grace righteousness is the spiritually mature believer who has put on the virtues of Christ in his heart. Grace righteousness means the believer is qualified. You have been tested and approved, and now you're qualified to receive hope 2 and hope 3. Greater grace blessing for time, greater grace blessing for all eternity, which glorify God forever and ever, Romans 5:3-5. The grace righteous believer lives his life by the royal family honor code. Grace righteousness is an integral part of the armor of the soul and protects the believer from the strategies of the devil. Ephesians 6:11-14. Grace righteousness not only insulates the soul of the believer in the invisible war of the angelic conflict, but it is also the key to handling historical or personal disaster and suffering in your life. The breastplate of grace righteousness and the armor of God, Ephesians 6:11-14. That breastplate of grace righteousness is not put on until you first of all put on the belt of Bible doctrine. Consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word of God in your heart, Ephesians 6:14. You are not ready to stand firm, ready for combat in the invisible war of the angelic conflict, nor in times of crisis or disaster, until the breastplate of grace righteousness is on in your heart. Believers are commanded to pursue grace righteousness, 1 Timothy 6:11, 2 Timothy 2:22. Results of attaining grace righteousness: powerful and effective prayer life. James 5:16, 1 Peter 3:12. Maximum grace rice production, grace righteous production in the life, 1 John 3:7. Effective witnessing, Proverbs 11:30. So we have, and not only this, but also result number 4 of justification. We keep on glorying in our suffering for blessing, because we, spiritually adult believers, we know that suffering for blessing produces courageous endurance, steadfastness, perseverance, and courageous endurance, perseverance produces, develops, brings about proven character, demonstrated grace righteousness. And that produces, develops, brings about virtue number 3. Once you're qualified, once you have proven character, qualified, tested and approved, now you're qualified for virtue number 3 that is produced. And that is elpis. E-L-P-I-S. Elpis. Now you'll probably find this translated many times in your Bibles, hope. And that's okay, as long as you know what that means in the Bible. It's not the way most people use the word. I have asked people when I've given them the gospel, or first of all, I'll say, are you going to be in heaven? And they'll look at me and say, I hope so. Well, as soon as they say, I hope so, I just say in my soul, you're not so. And I give the gospel. When you place your faith in Jesus Christ, God gives you the gift of eternal life. He imputes His righteousness to you, and you have confidence of eternal life. Anybody ask me if I'm going to go to heaven? Hell yes! I'm going to heaven. I'm a Christian. I believe in Christ. And at the moment of faith in Christ, God gave me eternal life, gave me His righteousness. I'm going to live with Him forever and ever in heaven. I'm looking forward to it. I have the gift of eternal life now. Confidence. Absolute confidence of eternal life. And then, when you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills that advance the spiritual maturity, you'll have another confidence. Confidence of blessing in time. Greater grace blessing in time. The salvation grace blessings are great. Logistical grace blessings are great. But greater grace blessings, this is a deep point, are greater. Greater. Greater grace blessings for time, greater grace blessings for eternity. So virtue number three that is produced is elpis. We have the conjunction de plus the nominative singular of dokime with the definite article plus the accusative singular of elpis. De is once again a transitional particle and may be correctly translated and, moreover, then, or now. We'll translate it and. And then we, hey dokime, well, we already know what that is. Proven character, demonstrated grace righteousness. We have been tested and approved. Now we're qualified for the third virtue, elpis. Greater grace blessings in time, greater grace blessings for all eternity. Once again, the verb katergazomai has been left out by ellipsis. Why? Paul's excited. When he gets excited, he leaves words out. You see, I've seen that. I saw that growing up with my mother. My mother got really excited. Her false teeth came out of her mouth and went back in. Scared the crap out of me, I tell you. But she would say, Rich, I want you to take the garbage out. I'm watching something, football game or something on TV. She comes back in. Rich, the garbage. Take it out. She leaves. I'm sitting there watching the football game. Next time she comes in, hey! Oh. That's exactly what I did. My mother said, hey, I got up and took that garbage out right now. She left out a whole bunch of words, but she didn't have to have them in there. See? I knew exactly what she meant. Well, that's what we say, left out by ellipsis. It must be supplied in the translation. So the corrected translation... Sorry, Magna, but it helped illustrate the point. And proven character, demonstrated grace righteousness, qualifies you, develops in you, brings about elpis. All right, a couple of things. One, elpis means confidence. It's a great word. It's a great word in the Bible. It means confidence. Confidence, expectation, anticipation. Two, The winner believer has maximum confidence in God. Maximum confidence in God, maximum confidence in the Word of God. He knows the Word of God is absolute truth, and he has maximum confidence in God and the Word of God. What God says in his Word, he has maximum confidence. He's going to do that. Three, hope is the momentum factor in the plan of God. It's the momentum factor in the plan of God. Four, hope gives you confidence about a future thing. It gives you confidence about a future thing. Five, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart of the believer gives him confidence. Confidence. Confidence about near blessings and far blessings. Six, hope is a confidence that keeps driving the believer. And therefore, it is a great dynamic of the spiritual life. Confidence. It's a mental attitude. It's in your soul. It's developed. It's been developed in the spiritually adult believer. You've gone from courageous endurance to proven character, and you're qualified now for confidence, and that confidence is confidence to God and the Word of God, and it's a mental attitude in your soul day by day, no matter what's going on anywhere in the world. My doc, my cardiologist anyway, is a believer in Jesus Christ. And he usually says, oh, this world. And he's just, it's falling apart. I say, God? I mean, I didn't call my doctor God. Doc, Jesus Christ controls history. Everything is going on in the world. Jesus Christ controls history. Jesus Christ, the worldwide pandemic, Jesus Christ controls history. The apostasy in client nation USA, Jesus Christ controls history. The satanic attack of Russia on the Ukraine and the atrocities that they are doing in the Ukraine, Jesus Christ controls history. And by the way, and I told Doc this, I said, there are a lot of great Christians in the Ukraine. And I gave him, I said, here, you're always on the internet. Jim Myers Ministries. Write that down, Doc. Look it up. Jim Myers Ministries. Excellent Bible teacher. Been in the Ukraine for years and years and years. Teaching them the grace and truth of the Word of God. And there is a huge pivot of mature believers in the Ukraine, and they have already had tremendous impact throughout the nation on the people and on the soldiers, and they have had tremendous response from the soldiers. They have given the gospel to them, give them the teaching of the Word, and some of those soldiers are spiritually mature believers serving in the Ukrainian military. I said, you ought to look it up. And he keeps giving updates from time to time. And you'll see what's going on. But Jesus Christ controls history. And I told him, I said, you know what? He had to leave because of the invasion. He had to leave. And he came back to the States, but he's already planning in the next couple of weeks he's going back. He's going to be back. He's going to go back into Ukraine. He's going to go into Western Ukraine and encourage the believers there. A lot of the Ukrainians fled to Poland, and he's going to have special Bible classes at Auschwitz in Poland for those Ukrainians that have left and fled there. But he's going to be back there in a couple weeks, and he's looking forward to it. But those Christians in Ukraine have contacted him, and it's a great thing about the internet and so forth, and they've thanked him. They thank Jim Myers over and over. Thank you for preparing us for the these days through all your Bible teaching. They over and over, thank you, thank you, thank you for preparing us for what we're going through right now. Seven, hope is unique to the believer only. The unbeliever, the unbeliever has no hope. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. First Thessalonians 4, verse 13. Now Paul, when he starts out in verse 13, he says, brothers, it's Adelphoi, brethren, technical term by Paul for believers, royal family of God in the church age. Brethren, royal family of God. He's addressing believers. We do not want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep, loved ones who have died. And he uses sleep to describe the death of a believer. And there were many of their loved ones who were believers in Jesus Christ who have died physically. And he describes it as falling asleep. I don't want you to be ignorant about those fellow believers who have died physically, or to grieve like the rest of men. The rest of men are all unbelievers. The unbelievers, that's the rest of men. Or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. Of course not. They have no hope. No hope of salvation. No hope of eternal life. No hope of living with the living and true God. That's the rest of men, unbelievers. They have no hope. They have no hope, one, the confidence of eternal life, the confidence of living with the living and true God forever and ever. Unbeliever doesn't have that. And so there is grieving with unbelievers. Oftentimes it goes on and on and on. They have no hope. All right, there are three hopes in the Scriptures. Three hopes. Hope one, eternal life. Three hopes in the Scriptures. Hope one, eternal life. One, hope one is absolute confidence that when you believe in Christ, you have the gift of eternal life. And you are going to be with God forever and ever in heaven. That's hope one. Hope one, eternal life. Absolute confidence that when you believe in Christ, you have the gift of eternal life. You will live with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever in heaven. Turn over to Titus 1. Titus 1. Titus 1, one of the great pastors. 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus are called the pastoral epistles. This is a deep point because they were written to pastors. Got that one? That's a good one. Titus 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect. Faith can be used for faithfulness, it can be used for the act of faith, or it can be used for the body of faith, that which is believed, the word of God. Here it's used for the body of faith. An apostle of Jesus Christ for the body of faith of God's elect, and the epinosis knowledge, full knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. Elsebeia, special word for the spiritual life, living the spiritual life. A faith and knowledge resting on the confidence, elpis, on the confidence of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. That means an eternity past, and that's a reference to the divine decree. That's a reference to the divine decree. A knowledge resting on the confidence of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. Divine decree. So point two, hope one is related to the divine decree. Titus 1:2. When a person expresses positive volition and God consciousness, God is faithful to provide the gospel. Gospel hearing converts the potential into the hope of salvation. And that hope is knowing that when you believe in Christ, you have eternal life. That's hope one. Hope one, eternal life. All right, there's still hope two and hope three. We're going to take a break. You want to come back for those. Hope two and hope three.